All right, you got your Bible with you this morning? Turn to John chapter 16. So excited about visiting the word of the Lord with you this morning and all that the Lord's going to do in this season. We begin today a new series called The Advantage. And it's a series about a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God and how a relationship with the Holy Spirit dynamically impacts our lives. And you know, when we read through the book of Acts, we see how dynamically important, how dynamically dependent, and how significantly impacted the early followers, the early disciples, believers in Jesus were by a relationship with the Holy Spirit. How empowered they were. How the Holy Spirit was providing to them as they were serving God and fulfilling His purposes for their lives, just as you and I are called today to live. How He was their source of direction and protection and provision to their lives. So we're going to dig into this over the next few weeks. And we're going to be reminded about some things. And for some of us, maybe there'll be some things revealed to us. But you know, most Christians, most believers, we embrace the wonder of the Trinity. The idea, the concept, the reality that God is three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But many of us, for many reasons, there's uncertainty, there's fear, there's confusion, there's a hesitancy about the person of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I say this often, but it bears repeating because it's significantly true. Anywhere in God's kingdom that there is power, where there is purpose, where there is potential, you better believe that the enemy of your soul is going to come to resist and oppose. And perhaps there's no place where there is greater potential, power, and promise than in a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And so it's no wonder, it's no coincidence that the Holy Spirit is oftentimes shrouded in mystery or controversy that causes fear or anxiety or reluctance. And so we're going in this season and in this series to press into more than what I believe, more than what maybe we've previously experienced in another church or another season, to what does God's word have to say about the Holy Spirit? How many know that that matters more than what any of us think? What does God have to say about the Holy Spirit? What does God's word have to say? What did Jesus have to say about the Holy Spirit? So in this series, come on, I hope that you'll engage and press in and trust God to once again either remind us of some things or perhaps for you completely reveal to you some things about who the Holy Spirit is. I believe He's giving us an opportunity in this season, whether you're new to the Lord and the things of God's word or you've served the Lord for a long time, to either reprioritize, to in a deeper or a new way recommit and dedicate yourself to pursue a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And for some of you, an opportunity to receive the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, perhaps for the first time. And you know, Acts 19 shows us that doing what we're doing in this series is important. Visiting God's word and being equipped and strengthened in what God's word has to say about the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, the Apostle Paul, it says, I'll just read it for you. It says in verse 1, Acts 19, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, and they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And if you read on, the rest of the story is, Paul instructed them. He instructed them about how to go beyond the baptism of repentance into the baptism of Jesus, and they received the Holy Spirit. And if you read on, they went and they became a part of advancing God's kingdom in a mighty way. So in this series, it's what we're going to do. We're going to bring some clarity. We're going to visit God's word. What does the Bible have to say? What does Jesus have to say about who the Holy Spirit is? About the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives? About the power that the Holy Spirit brings to our life, for every area of our life, about the life that we have access to, not just the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the evidence that the Spirit of God is working in and through us, about the character and the nature of God that is formed within us when we welcome and we receive by faith a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So would you allow you there in John chapter 16? And would you allow me to pray over this series and over our time today and over our hearts, that God would open us and prepare us to receive everything that he has, come on, for you and for me today. Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the promises that lie within your word. And we are gathered here today not just to have a good service, but to encounter and to experience a God that changes our lives, that transforms us, that makes us new, that strengthens and equips us to live out a life of purpose, the abundant life that Jesus spoke of. And so, Lord, we open ourselves up today. Would you speak to us? Any of us today who are weak or weary or struggling in any area of our lives, physically, in our health, spiritually, or emotionally, or relationally, thank you today, God, that your heart is so good to us as your people, and your desire is to come and to heal and restore, to strengthen and renew. And Lord, we thank you for equipping us in either a new, a deeper, or perhaps even a greater way today to receive by faith the promise and the gift of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And all of God's, come on, precious and handsome people said with a shout, amen, amen, amen. John chapter 16, are you there? Starting in verse chapter 7. And it's where we get the title for this series that we're going to be in for the coming weeks. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's explaining the things that are yet to come and about to happen, and he's preparing their hearts, and he says to them, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Somebody say advantage. Come on, say it again, advantage. Jesus is talking and he says, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. Somebody say helper. Come on, say it again, helper. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. Jesus said, he's setting the groundwork for what's about to happen, and he says, don't worry. We've been through some things together, and I'm about to go to the cross, but I'll be raised again and I'll go to my Father, but don't worry. It's actually to your advantage that this happens, because when I go, I'll send you the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, isn't this amazing? That Jesus would say to his disciples, after all that they've been through, he would say to them, it's actually to your advantage that I go away. I mean, just think about everything that they had been through. Think about all that Jesus had done for them. Think about all they had seen him do. He had helped them pay their taxes. He had said, go and cast and find a fish, and in the mouth of the fish, you'll find the money that's needed to pay your taxes. He had helped them to pay their taxes. He had saved them from being lost at sea, by speaking peace over a stormy situation and bringing calm to their lives. He had fed them miraculously, and not just them, but thousands of others, with just a few loaves and a few fish. He had healed the sick, the lame, the blind. He had even raised the dead. And somehow he's saying, it's going to be even better. Can you even imagine it? It's to your advantage that I go away. Other translations say it is for your best. It is expedient. It is for your good. It is your advantage that I go away, because I'm going to send the promise of the Father. And you are going to have an opportunity to not just have seen the works that I do, but begin to know who I am, because my Spirit is going to live within you. Listen, the relationship with the Holy Spirit is powerfully important. It's what Jesus was trying to say to his disciples. He was saying, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be good. It's going to be good. Relationship with the Holy Spirit is powerfully important. Listen, if you're one of those who has held back or been reserved or had questions or had concerns because of things you've seen or things you've experienced, I want to encourage you, it's good. It's a good thing. Relationship with the Holy Spirit is a powerful thing. It's a good thing to have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. So important that Jesus said, it's your advantage in life. You know, Jesus said that we would do the things that he did and even greater things. And the post-text of that is, because I go to my Father. Listen, in this series, I'm trusting the Lord to, again, remind us of some things or reveal some things to us, and to really align us with the heart of God to have a daily, ongoing, intimate relationship with him that's empowered by the person of the Holy Spirit. And listen, I believe that the Holy Spirit, a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, It leads us to become passionate. It leads us to become bold for Jesus Christ. And if you believe that that's weird, I don't know that there's any much that I can do for you. But I do believe that there are certain things and certain people, certain ways the enemy has brought controversy, perhaps in certain times and seasons, people that drew attention to themselves instead of drawing attention to Jesus and to the Father. There's been some weirdness that's been associated with the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, I just believe that the Holy Spirit is not weird. Come on, some of those people would be weird with or without the Holy Spirit. And they're just being weird, and they're doing it in the name of the Holy Spirit, and it's giving the Holy Spirit a bad rap. Again, their passion for Jesus and boldness to speak and declare and lay on hands for people to be healed and even the dead to rise, that's the kind of boldness. And if you think that's weird, I don't know what I could do for you. But some of the other things that have been insisted upon as expressions to determine whether or not God was present in a place, some of the weirdness and sensationalism, some of the people who have, again, tried to draw attention to themselves and their own ministry, some of that is not, I don't believe that some of that has to be associated with the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For God to move in the fullness of who He is and what He desires to do in our lives, in our homes, in your relationships, in this church and in this city that desperately needs Jesus Christ and desperately needs a people and a church that is fully empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we might go in our preaching, not just be in words, but in the demonstrations of God's love and power for a people who desperately need Jesus. You know, you take the Holy Spirit out of a church, and it just, for me, it just gets dry, it gets boring, it gets lifeless, it gets powerless. Come on, we want to be a church that without the weirdness and drawing attention to ourselves and the other things that have been associated with it, we want to be a people and a church that is empowered by the fullness of God's Holy Spirit that people might see. Come on, yeah, put your hands together for Jesus. So I want to go and dig into a few things this morning. And the first thing is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Our God is three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in John 16, we read it just a moment ago. Jesus said, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Do you notice that Jesus does now use the word it? And the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. He's not a force. He's not just a power in the earth today. He is those things, but he's so much more. He's a person who desires to have a relationship with you. And that's why this is powerfully important and significant, because if we don't see this, if we perceive him as a force, if we perceive him as an it, we will never pursue and embrace the invitation and the opportunity to develop a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. He's more than an it. He's more than a force. He's a person who desires to have an intimate relationship with you. And it's what God desperately wants for us. Come on, turn back a few books in your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go from John 16 back in John 16 here in a little bit, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And pick it up in verse 11. Because really, verse 14 is where I'm after today. Verse 14 is where it's really at for us this morning, but I just couldn't help but read verse 11 through 13 because there's just some good reminders to us as the people of God in verse 11, 12, and 13. And starting in verse 11, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, come on, that's you and that's me. And he says, I close my letter with these last words, be joyful. Be joyful. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, be joyful. Be joyful. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. Come on, wherever you are today in God, he's not finished with you. There's more. His invitation to you is to grow in him, to grow to maturity, to grow and to know him more intimately. And he says, encourage one another. Come on, look at your neighbor, your other neighbor who's your second choice, and say, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in the Lord today. And he says, live in harmony and in peace. Then the love of God and the peace of God will be with you. Greet each other with Christian love. Come on, another translation says, a holy kiss. And it says, all of God's people here send their greetings to you. And here's what I'm really after today. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all Jesus is, or God is saying through his word, I desire for you to have fellowship, a friendship, intimacy with my Holy Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We see God three in one expressed in this passage, and his heart for you is to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This word in the Greek is the word koinonia. This word fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's the word koinonia, and it's a powerful word. And fellowship is a pretty good translation for it, but it's really deeper than that. It means fellowship. It also means association or close partnership, the kind of association and partnership that's like linking arms and doing something or building something with someone. And it also means intimacy. And I mean the kind of intimacy that is really intimacy. I mean as close as you could possibly be with someone. Other translations of that same word are even, the word intercourse is even used as a translation for that word. It's that kind of intimacy. It's as close as you could get, and it's even closer. And he says, that's the kind of fellowship I desire for you to have as the people of God. After you've encountered the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our Heavenly Father, this kind of koinonia, this fellowship, this divine association and partnership, this kind of close intimacy with me, the Holy Spirit, he wants to have a relationship with you. Relationships, the currency of every relationship is time spent with somebody. Listen, when you walk in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you get to know Jesus. And you get to know God and all that he is in the form of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and the fullness thereof. But we have to spend time with him. Listen, we can embrace what we've already talked about, that he's part of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity. We can embrace that he's a person. But how many of you know that you can actually be with someone and not really be in intimate fellowship with them? I'm guilty of it all the time because I'm a dreamer. And I'm thinking about and I'm dreaming about and I'm envisioning what's possible for me and my wife and our kids and our family and you and our church and our city. I'm dreaming, I'm envisioning, I'm caught up in all the things that God's doing, and sometimes I have to remind myself, and by remind myself, I mean listen to my wife saying, Thomas, be present in this moment with me and your family. Here's the point. You can be with somebody and not really be with them. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is with you, but God's desire is for him to be in you. And he wants to have this kind of intimate fellowship with you. And when we begin to believe that he's a person, that he's part of the Godhead, we must believe that we begin to have the opportunity to have a friendship with him. And come on, I'm just saying, maybe we begin to just embrace this a little bit differently, and maybe we begin to experience God in a little deeper, in a little bit more rich way, in a way that impacts and brings life to us in a way beyond what we're currently experiencing. When you realize that in the commute from here to Topeka or Kansas City or wherever it is you work, that the Holy Spirit is right there in the vehicle with you. When you realize that right there in your office as you're going about your day and something pops up you weren't expecting, the Holy Spirit is right there with you. You can be with somebody and not really be with them. I believe in this part of this message is going to empower and strengthen and equip and encourage some of you to begin to apprehend the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. And begin to engage in the form of a friendship and say, Holy Spirit, what are you up to? Holy Spirit, what do I say? Holy Spirit, what do I do? Holy Spirit, I need you to come and to strengthen, to equip, to encourage me. When you walk in friendship with the Holy Spirit, you get to know Jesus. He wants to be with you. Partnership. He wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with you. Verse 7, back to John 16, says, it is to your advantage I go away. The helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. That word, the helper, is the word parakletos. And it means this. It means helper, comforter, advocate, counselor. Those are four translations, four words that are used in various translations from that word parakletos. He's your helper. He's your comforter. He's your advocate. He's your counselor. Come on, and the things that God's called you to do and be, how many of you could use a helper every now and then? Come on, let me see your hand. How many of you could use a comforter every now and then? You can get discouraged, and you need someone to, in real time, come and comfort you in the things of God. How many of you could use an advocate, someone fighting with you and for you and on your behalf? How many of you could use a counselor, someone who will speak truth and give you wisdom and give you knowledge and give you favor and show you the pathway to move forward in the things that God's called you to do? That's the Holy Spirit. Parakletos. You know, they call them paras. Gabrielle Isom, you know, you would know about this. They call them paras in school, in the public school district. You know, there are students who need a little bit more attention, and they need a little bit more help to go about their public school day and all the things that entails, and they assign a specific teacher to that student, and they call them a para. That's the root word here. And how do you know that as good as on our best day, we need a helper? On your best day, you need a helper. Come on, we never graduate from grace. And on our very best day, we need a helper. And come on, if those kids that have had some struggles and had some challenges, whatever it's tied to, the school district recognizes that they need someone specially assigned to them to help them to succeed in what God's called them to do. How many know all the more? That's the heart behind the Holy Spirit. God said, I'm bringing a helper alongside you to help you to make it to and through and into the things I've called you to. He's a helper. He's a comforter. He's an advocate. He's a counselor. It's who he is. It's who he is. It's who he is. Listen, the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he never walked personally with Jesus. It was all by the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, we could get caught up and say, well, if I could only walk on the Sea of Galilee with the Lord Jesus, you know, then I could know these things or do these things, you know. But Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. There you'll have greater access to things by the Holy Spirit who lives in you than the things that you could have walked with me and done in the natural. Think about it. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He never walked on the shores of Galilee with Jesus. It was all because of the way the Holy Spirit came into his life and began to reveal to him who Jesus was, what the kingdom was about, who the Father was, and how to live out this life we call Christianity that we live by faith. He wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with you. Come on, everything he's called you to, every situation, every area, your marriage, your family, the dream in your heart, your work, your ministry, everything he's called you to, he wants to partner with you. And the third definition of this word, koinonia, is intimacy. Listen, there's different levels of relationships. You guys know that to be true. There's different levels of relationship. All relationships are not created equal. There's a relationship where you just know about somebody. You know about them. You see them in the media. You see them in the news. You know about somebody. And then there's a relationship where you've encountered someone and you've become a casual acquaintance. You know, like maybe in passing you've greeted one another. You're a casual acquaintance. And then there's a friendship where maybe you don't spend a lot of time. They're not in your closest circle, but you would count them amongst your friends. And then there's a close friendship, that group, that inner circle, those groups of friends that you spend a lot of time with. And then there's an intimate friendship, the kind of which I have only with my wife. The kind of which that's so intimate that it's only to be shared with one person. And that's the word, koinonia. That's the kind of fellowship that the Holy Spirit wants for you. And James 4, verse 5 says this: do you think the scripture says without reason? He's saying there's a powerful purpose behind the fact that the scripture says that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us. God is anything but selfish, but he's jealous for you. I don't know who I'm pointing at here. I got a crooked finger here that I broke, and now I'm really confusing you. He's anything but selfish, but he's jealous for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Can you guys see that from back there? Come on. Ryan Rogers, pray for me after the service, man. Straighten that thing up. He's not selfish, but he's jealous. He jealously desires for his Spirit to dwell in us. So if he's relentlessly jealous for his Spirit to abide in us, and the Bible says that he gives generously to those who ask, is it really about God coming and filling us more, or perhaps it's about us becoming more surrendered and available? He's jealously longing to fill you with his Spirit. He wants intimacy. He wants intimacy. And turn to James chapter 4. And they'll put it up behind me. In James chapter 4, listen, this is strong language. But I feel compelled to preach it because I think it's going to open something up that God wants to do as we close our service this morning. And it's strong language, but come on, how many of you know, I mean, I take responsibility for this pulpit. I don't want to just preach the things that tickle your ears and make you feel good. I don't mind preaching some things that step on your toes every now and then if I feel like it's going to cause you to step into and step out of some things and step into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And James chapter 4, verse 4, he says this, he says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God?" And he says, "Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." He says, "You adulterous people." And what's an adulterer? An adulterer is one who is intended to be in a personal, intimate covenant that was only intended to be with one other, and they go and they share that intimacy with somebody else. And I believe today, because he's so good, and because he so desires to dwell richly in you, he's going to reveal some places where only his spirit is intended to dwell that we've given to the world. I want to ask the worship team to come up and get ready to minister behind me and help to prepare the atmosphere for us to respond. There's a lot we're going to get into over the next few weeks, but really the assignment I felt the Holy Spirit give me for the opening message was to preach a message of repentance, to preach a message of turning from the things of the world and some of the things that so easily kind of get our attention and steal our focus from intimacy and fellowship and partnership with the Holy Spirit. And that what God really wanted to do today and in this message was to give every one of us in one way or another the opportunity to get set free of some things that have taken up some space and the place where only the Holy Spirit was intended to dwell. You read on through that passage in James chapter 4, and it says, but God gives us more grace. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he'll lift you up. He's saying, you know, you can't be in the world and you can't be pursuing and living for the things of the world and be a friend of God. But he's saying, but God will give you grace. And I believe this morning God's going to bring grace. God's going to bring mercy. God's going to bring conviction. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will convict us. And how many know that's a good thing? We need to learn as the people of God to embrace the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The enemy brings condemnation to cause us to get stuck where we are and fearful of moving forward and feeling inadequate and inferior to the call of God upon our life. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit is a precious thing. It's the heart of a father shining his love into an area of our life and saying, "I've got a better way for you. Come and lay that thing down and receive the Holy Spirit." Would you stand to your feet? Listen, wherever you are today in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, I know that every one of us, my hope and my heart was, what I believe that the Lord wanted to do today is just create an appetite in every one of us to have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. What God really intended when he said, "I desire you in the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, I desire you to have the fellowship, the koinonia, the fellowship and friendship, the partnership, the association, and the intimacy that's as close as you can imagine, as close as you could perceive, to have a longing for that kind of a relationship, the Holy Spirit." And as the worship team leads here in a moment, I just want to open up the altar in the front. And as the Lord just graciously and lovingly just convicts you or stirs something, I want to open it up for you to just come. We're going to take about the next 10 or 12 minutes of our service before we dismiss and close and release you, or as long as you need today to just come and do business with God, to just come and just say, come on, if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart that there's an area, you know the Lord, you love the Lord, you want to live for God, but there's some places where the world has gathered your attention back to itself. There's some places where you've looked back or gone back. there's some things today that you want to lay down and you want to leave at the altar of God. There's some space and there's a place that you want to make for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to once again fill you and begin to just move in and through your life. Would you just come? Would you just come? Come on, if you stay where you are, that's fine, and you can do business with God anywhere, but I think there's something powerful about stepping out and about coming and kneeling at the altar of God. Come on, this is not a stage. It's better called a platform, but really this is an altar. This is a place of coming before the Lord. And in a consecrated way, in a focused way, in an intentional way, doing business with God. Come on, where our hearts, the name of Fernando's ministry is Rendered Heart, where our heart is rendered, it's open before God, and everything that's in there that's not of God, we lay it down, we confess it, we even repent of it. Come on, repentance is not a bad word. It's a strong word, but it's not a bad word. We repent and we receive and we walk in the forgiveness of God and we walk in the kingdom of God. So would you come this morning as we worship? Would you come this morning and do business with God? Would you come this morning and lay some things down and leave it here? Would you come this morning and just by faith, just say, Lord, would you fill me fresh and new? And would you remind me the intimacy that you desire to have jealously with me?